Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here's that we now have a quorum. I'm James. I'm James Corsi, the chairman of the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals. If we may, can we stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. First item on our agenda this morning is the approval of the November the 28th meeting. We did not meet in December, I believe. All right, has everyone on the board had an opportunity to review those minutes? If so, are there any suggestions or edits to those minutes? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve? All right.
Second.
Okay, we have a move to approve and a second. By voice vote, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right, let's move on to our regular agenda. First matter up this morning is 125 Little Neck Road. A variance to development standards. All right. May we hear from staff, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Brad Clement. I'll be speaking on behalf of the MPC today. This is a fairly straightforward matter. The petitioner is requesting a variance from section of the ordinance regarding the subject parcel located at 125 Little Neck Road. Let me put some exhibits up here for our viewing audience. You'll forgive me, I'm the new guy, I'll probably break the computer. There we go. There we go. Here's the parcel at the intersection of Little Neck and Ogeechee. The variance in question is for a size of the resulting self-storage unit that would be there. The maximum allowable size is 4 acres. This action would recombine lots with an existing self-storage unit to create a unit 8 acres in size. It should be noted that 1.5 acres of the subject parcel is actually detention pond that is part of the stormwater for the larger planned commercial business center that is there. The petitioner did request that those lots be subdivided, which would put the new development under the 4 acre maximum, but that would create an orphan parcel with the detention pond. It's not in the county's interest to do that. It creates an unbuildable lot, and then who owns the pond? I'm not going to read through all of this unless it's required. The staff recommendation is approval on the condition that the existing lots in the new development are recombined per the site plan, concept plan that was proposed, and it meets all other county regulations and requirements. Do you have any questions?
Right. Are there any questions by the board or staff? So we have four acres existing, as I understand.
3 point something, approaching 4 minus the detention pond. It's that extra 1.5 acres that makes that new development parcel greater than the 4 acres. So what the county gives is we're going to allow you to build a mega self-storage site, but you have to eat the pond. It's as close as we get to a win-win here.
How many acres does the existing facility sit on?
The existing storage unit. Seen here. in this area right here. Is on 3.07 acres. The proposed new construction will be 3.95 acres, just under the four. And again, the outparcel with the detention pond is 1.5.
Thank you.
How do you access this property? Just
because of improvements on the formerly existing entrance, that entrance access goes away because of the intersection improvements on Little Neck and Ogeechee there, which would otherwise create this large lot that's only accessible internal to the existing development. So it becomes more difficult for a developer to come in and develop that property. This is probably as good a use as you're going to get out of that parcel, in the opinion of staff.
So access will only be through the existing?
Through the existing parcel, that is correct. Generally speaking, self-storage units are a low traffic generator in terms of impact.
An entrance is very close to Ogeechee Road. We don't have any accidents history there, do we?
I have no information to provide on that, sir. The entrance point will be off of Little Neck. It will be away from the existing intersection. That right of way entering the property at the intersection ceases to exist.
Any other questions from the board? All right. Can we hear from the petitioner, please?
I have a PDF. Where do they own the bond down here?
My apologies, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to enter the staff report into the record.
Bear with me just a second, please. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Robert McCorville from law firm McCorville Johnson and McCoy here on behalf of Savannah Little Neck Self Storage. My client's here with me today, who is the owner of both of these parcels. As was mentioned by staff, it's a little bit of a unique situation, and I just want to mention we obviously support staff's recommendation for approval, but I just want to mention a couple of the extenuating circumstances about this lot and give some clarification on the question that you asked. So this is the existing lot, which is 5.5 acres. It does incorporate this 1.5-acre pond in the back corner back here, which is actually the detention pond for this entire shopping center, which is the Laurel Hill Village Shopping Center. There is an existing self-storage facility that is already constructed, owned by my client as well, on the back parcel. The adjacent parcel, which is about 3.07 acres, as was mentioned, it's 99% full already. We've got a lot of development happening out there in that area. And so with this adjacent parcel, the idea and the desire is to do an additional self-storage facility that is single-story exterior exit self-storage facility. Good building materials, well landscaped, designed in such a way to fold into the rest of the development. There were two ways to go about doing this, as was mentioned by staff. We could have done it by a subdivision, or we could have done it by a variance. Either way, we end up in the same place, I suppose. We went through variance or subdivision discussion with the county. The county engineering department had some pushback about the idea of taking a common area parcel that had a detention pond on it. Obviously, these exist all over the county, but the county's position to us with this one was that they don't want it to be a separate lot, even though it would be owned and maintained by the association that exists for the shopping center. And they simply told us that we should go get a variance and just deal with it that way. So we went through the county and we worked with Marcus and with staff on this to try to figure out the best way to get us to where we're trying to get. And Marcus provided us a zoning letter that states that we can have this site immediately adjacent to the other site. And the intent is to actually use the office and the restrooms and things inside the already existing building for this facility. So it will all ultimately work as one facility. And I'll get back to why that's important in a minute. And so as far as the kind of extenuating circumstances with the subject property, number one is that, again, we have this common area subdivision, common area pond that serves all of the shopping center that is on our lot. Why it wasn't subdivided out in the beginning, we don't know, but it causes our lot to be larger than the 4 acres. Without it, we would meet the 4 acre requirement. The second is that the expansion of Little Neck Road, as was mentioned by staff, is taking away our access. So you can see here the drawing of Little Neck Road. This is the access that you were asking about.
Yes.
Right here, which is on that corner, which is going away. The other closest access, which is farther down the other side over here, is also going away. And so the access point for this parcel is now going to be across, and I'll go back up to give a better picture, is going to be across the shopping center over here. The good news is it was a planned development. So there are cross easements in place. We have access, but the only way that you'll be able to access this corner lot is now to come through the shopping center to get there. And so because of that, it takes away a lot of the valuable uses for this piece of property. It's unlikely to be a gas station or something else that you would typically see on the corner because it doesn't have any direct access and you have to cross the shopping center to get to it. So self-storage becomes an even better use for this property with the taking that's going on with Little Neck Road. The other thing that's important to note that's peculiar to this piece of property is that it doesn't have water and sewer available. We have obtained a letter from the city confirming that there is no sewer capacity available for the lot. And so even if we could build a gas station or some other retail, a fast food use out there, currently, until the facilities are expanded, there is no sewer available. Addition to that, there's no water available unless we annex into the city. In order to annex into the city would require us to annex the entire shopping center and the adjacent parcels in to create a water loop, which if you've ever been through a development like that is a thing that the city likes to do. And so we can't control the shopping center. We have no ability to make them annex. So essentially we also don't have access to water at the site. So the site as it's going to occur, as it currently sits, has no direct access out onto the road and has no available water and sewer. And so the use that is kind of left, frankly, is self-storage. And that's what we're here for today. There are various ways to skin this cat. But ultimately, what we're here to ask is for a variance to the 4 acre limitation so that we can construct this site. The two projects will work together as one and be accessed through common driveways. We will share an office, share bathrooms, all those other things to the extent they're necessary, although Marcus has confirmed we don't have to have those items for our self-storage facility, but it'll be a good thing to supply to our customers. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you have, and we support staff's recommendation for approval.
Fire service. In the event of a fire, where are you getting your water from?
I know that the existing building, I believe the existing building is sprinklered. I believe that we have hydrant service and fire service at the shopping center. But we don't have the ability to tap in for a restroom on the site. But there is fire service existing in the shopping center.
Huh. It's not even a hose bib.
No. I'm not sure where the closest one is. I'm not saying it's not accessible. It may be, but I'm not sure where the closest one is in a parking lot for the shopping center.
Because you're showing a lot of really pretty landscaping, which is important to me because I think inherently that storage units are about the ugliest things on the planet. So I'm curious as to how you're going to irrigate.
Yeah, sure. Come on.
Come on up. Introduce yourself for the record and raise your right hand, please.
Sure. My name is Daniel Rinkins. I'm with Canvas Capital, representative of the owner. Thank you and good morning.
All right. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Certainly. Yes. So we First, let me say that there is architectural standards in this association. So we already have to build the facade, you know, with EFIS and brick, and it has to be consistent with the remaining facility. So these pictures that Robert shown is what we will build. We can guarantee you that. Second, regarding water and irrigation, I sat down with Jim Laplander, the public works director, for over an hour in his office looking for creative ways to get water here. It's not possible for Robert's explanation of the annexation and all that. So we would love to irrigate our landscaping, put a hose bib for our customers. I think there are some on the retail buildings. We just can't legally do it. So we'll work with our landscape architect to pick drought resistant plants and things like that. And we can do gator bags on trees and things like that. However, we just don't have the option. I wish it was different, but we won't have water except what's already at the existing facility.
I just think the landscaping is a pretty key important part of that, because and you're certainly showing a lot of really pretty plantings.
Well, and keep in mind that the gap in the middle of the site plan too, we worked with the county arborist. We sat down for two of the Wednesday morning meetings, but we're keeping two of the big heritage oak trees, all that landscaping up front along Ogeechee, that's staying. We have a buffer there. So this landscaping, again, we can guarantee it's going to look very nice from the road.
And some of it's existing.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of it's
yeah.
existing. Yep.
Shallow wells, perhaps.
We have spoke to a well driller. We can do a well if we like. So that is an option we can certainly explore.
This retention pond, I'm not familiar with it as I'm driving by. Is there water in it at all times?
Yes, okay. There are wet ponds. There's two of them.
Okay, so conceivably a fire truck could dip and pump water if necessary.
If necessary, what Robert mentioned is correct. There are fire hydrants along, if you can see the cursor, there's fire hydrants along this
okay.
drive aisle already. Okay. So we actually have an email from the fire marshal
right.
as well.
So there are options.
Yeah, I was thinking you could irrigate from that pond, but I guess not.
We may or may be able to do rain barrels. There are certainly things we can look at. We actually most likely have to put a small bio retention somewhere on the site as well. So there are options we will explore.
Okay.
Any other questions? No. Thank you. Is there anyone else with an interest in this matter who'd like to be heard this morning, either here in person or on the phone?
No one online, sir.
Thank you. All right. Then I will close the evidence portion of this hearing and bring it back to the board. Any discussion by the board on this matter? See, we do have a condition that all county regulations and requirements must be met. Okay. And any motion should include that clause, please. If no discussion, can I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve this request. Approve the variance in conjunction with the MPC staff's recommendation for approval, subject to meeting all county requirements.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. We have a move to approve and a second. All right. By voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? All right. Do you have your variance?
I bless the people on the west side.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready to proceed?
Yes. On the second matter, this morning, 7 Finn Court, front setback variance. Proceed. Can I hear from staff, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to handle this one the same way I handled the last one, so I'd ask that the staff report be entered into the record. The nature of this request is for a subject property located at 7 Finn Court. That is in the Landings larger development subdivision, an unincorporated Chatham County. The applicant is requesting a variance to the minimum front setback for proposed new construction of a single family dwelling unit. Looking at as a one over the world and where that is. There are some things unique about this case. It's not as straightforward as it might otherwise seem, and I'll get to that towards the end of my remarks. The property is in the Lannings, which is a covenant or deed restricted community, and their standards vary and differ in some regards to what the county ordinance is. When this was planned out, and it is one of the older, larger subdivisions in the county, the process works out and the county acknowledges and okays their plans. The original plan for the Landings was lost in a fire. And so there was no it's an irretrievable record. In lieu of that, in November 15th of 2016, the then county manager entered agreement with the Landings to accept development in the infill lots of the remaining undeveloped areas of the Lannings so that the architectural standards and the county ordinance of whatever had been previously agreed to will move forward in like kind. That's pretty ambiguous. As we would normally go through and analyze these requests for variance and looking at standards, it's difficult to judge what standard we're looking at. If we measure through the lens solely of the county ordinance, that's a different yardstick than the Landings Architectural Review Board. They're different. The applicant in this instance has to go through both that Architectural Review Board and any anomalies there that are not in concert with the county ordinance is what brings them here today, which is what they're asking for with a variance to the front setback. The Landings have already approved this variance. Part of the problem with this parcel, as you can see in this picture, it's somewhat irregularly shaped. Bidding a house normally to meet the setbacks in this parcel would be challenging given that the Landings, in addition to some of their architectural requirements, this is a porch lot parcel, patio lot parcel, that's a different design standard than some of the others. To squeeze that house of their minimum square footage on that lot is challenging for anyone. It could be done had the square footage of the proposed dwelling unit were reduced, but now you're fighting with the Architectural Review Board instead of the county, so it's just a pick. Here's a picture of the encroachment into the front setback area. I should point out, if we use the yardstick of building and continuing development in like kind, there are other adjacent properties that have this same difficulty because of the situation along the radius of the curve of Finn Court. So it would be in like kind, although it does encroach on the county's front minimum setback. With all of the difficulty and which yardstick to pull out and what standard to hold them to, because we have no ability or authority to enforce the covenants of the Landing, all I have is the county yardstick. And the front setback is what it is. And if the question is a matter of fact, which is what I'm presenting to you today, this design does not meet the county ordinance. And so we recommend denial, but a very sympathetic one. We don't feel it is appropriate to hold this petitioner guilty for all the sins of the past. Being the last guy through the door, now he has to pay the bill for everybody who ate at the buffet before. It's a difficult situation for the petitioner, and we acknowledge that. But given that these are the only yardsticks I have to measure by, that's the conclusion. If this house were not in the Landings and anywhere else in unincorporated Chatham, I would apply the same analysis. Any questions?
Can you give me an aerial view of the Fenn area, please?
Are you looking for imagery, sir?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you suggested there were other homes which have gone through this process.
Yes, this is that radius curve there.
Yes.
That's Fenn Court, and you can see the houses and some of the irregular shaped lots that they've positioned these houses on. So you see the orientation. There are requirements and how the house must orient and face the road. So again, it's a difficult puzzle game. How do you get this piece to fit on that piece of ground? It's not a big mystery why that was one of the last vacant lots.
Are there other homes along Fenn which came before the county for variances?
I looked into that to establish in like kind, and the answer to that question is yes. And each one of them is unique for their own reason. So other than to say, yes, this has happened before and likely will happen again as more irregular lots are to be built out, we'll find ourselves in the situation. That's why I sort of belabored this point on what would normally be a fairly straightforward variance ask. You will hear these arguments from staff again in the future as more lots continue to develop. And we'll have the same difficulty. With which yardstick do we use?
Questions of staff? All right. May I hear from the petitioners, please? And introduce yourself, please, and raise your right hand.
My name is Fred Wasson. I'm representing my client, homeowner. I'm also the designer.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
You have the floor, sir.
Great.
Did you sign in this morning?
I did.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted like to reiterate just a few points that feel like this ask for a variance is appropriate. At the time of the application, we had Landings preliminary approval. We now have Landings final approval. We also have a letter of support from one homeowner, and also the adjacent homeowner was here this morning, so she signed in for approval. As far as the precedent for front setback encroachments, I have both neighbors to the right and left have front setback encroachments, as well as when you just look at it qualitatively on the SAGIS overview, it's throughout this section of the community. That's all I'd like to add.
All right. Questions of the petitioner? All right. I take it that all the other three sides are within setback requirements?
They are. With these patio lots, it's unique. We have a 7-foot side setback and a 3-foot side setback. But what makes this lot even more challenging is we have a 10-foot easement on our 3-foot setback side.
And let's see.
I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times already, but, in your efforts to comply with the requirements as written, what What have you considered cutting back in terms of square footage?
Mm-hmm. So right now there is a minimum square footage size for the landings. Even though we're currently exceeding the minimum home size for this area,
right.
it's more difficult than just taking that exact number out. So we have the profile of the front of the home. If we were to send that back to, you know, to meet the front setback encroachment requirement or front setback requirements, then we would most likely be under the minimum standards for the landings. Another thing that further complicates it is the second floor can't exceed 50% of the first floor. So, you know, we move this, you know, front, you know, profile back, and then it just creates a whole nother world of problems.
So then your first floor would not be sufficiently larger than the second floor to meet landings requirements?
Correct. Yeah. So then if we don't get approval here, then the redesign requires us to go back and ask landings for, a variance on minimum home size. Or if they don't give us approval for minimum home size, then we design to the minimum home size, but that doesn't guarantee we still won't need a front setback variance. So then we're coming back before you guys.
The use of the area of the house that is encroaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not, none of it's conditioned space. It's a garage and a front porch.
Okay. Ooh, garage doors are going to face the street?
Four patio homes. Yeah.
Oh.
Did you have an elevation here, Forrest?
I believe I sent an elevation.
There's
do we have one? We
can. There's a floor plan, but
I don't have a floor plan. But I didn't see an elevation.
Mm-hmm. I have elevations with me, but I'm not sure how to transfer that to them.
All of these homes on Fenn Court are patio homes?
Correct. Yes, sir.
We're having to ask these questions because the member of the board who lives at the landings, who normally does our drive-bys for us, is unfortunately not with us this morning.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, we do have final approval from the landings pending, you know, approval from the county.
Is it in there?
Man, just stacking them up out there.
I got it. To be on the very bottom as soon as it loads.
Are you still from real estate?
Right. So what we're looking at here is a streetscape with the neighboring homes to the left and right. And ours proposed front elevation is in the center.
Now, I saw a written consent, or if you will, from one of the adjacent neighbors. Which one was it?
It's not the letter of consent is not the neighbor to the right or the left. It's further down the road.
Down the road. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So talk to me about these two folks.
So the neighbor to the right, she was here this morning. She signed in and recognized the project for approval.
All right. And the folks to the left, have we heard from them?
We have not.
Have we reached out to them?
Part of the this approval process, we had to send out, identify the neighbors within 200 feet. So a letter's been sent to them, as well as a sign posted on the lot that I'm sure they can see.
Do they actually live there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. So all
there are so many landings folks who kind of come and go.
That's right.
Was this a spec home or?
No, this is a custom home.
Well, you're definitely between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, you know, patio home setbacks, you know, it was a 7-foot on one side and a 3-foot setback on the other side, which if we were just held to that standard, it would be great and maybe we wouldn't have to ask for this variance. But on the right side, our 3-foot side setback, it also has a 10-foot easement that we can't encroach. So really we have a 7-foot side setback and a 10-foot side setback instead of a 3. So on the right side is we have that easement.
A question for staff. Is there any correspondence from the Landings Club to show the approval?
In the course of email back and forth with Mr. Wasson, he did forward a letter from the Architectural Review Board approving his variance. It should be in the file. Should being the operative term.
One point I think in your favor here is the adjacent, the house to the left is actually on a different line facing the street, actually at a diagonal, if I recall correctly, here on the variance exhibit site plan. So the front of that house actually appears to face the road at a different angle. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So the owners of this house are going to be looking into their bedroom, I guess, next door.
Are we talking about the neighbor to the right?
To the left.
The left.
The two houses or the proposed house is at a different angle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and every house is at
to the street.
Yeah, with these pie shapes, there would be very few homes that are parallel to each other.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing.
So the guy on the left is really not as impacted as I thought when I first saw this. I thought.
I agree.
Okay. Any other questions? The other witness? Come on. No hand motions. Come on. Have you signed in?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your name, please.
Ashley Carlson.
All right. Ashley, raise your right hand for me, please. I swear to tell truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
All right. You have the floor.
Sorry, I just wanted to point out that since
bad for the record. So.
since you've asked a couple of times about the neighbor to the left, mm-hmm. That what you're saying is they can't see us. So this is the back side, and there's not per Landings rules and regulations. There actually are no windows. There are some artificial windows, but so they can't actually see us. And there's there'll be some natural landscaping that buffers us from them just as much for me as for them.
Okay. So,
yeah, I think that's probably why we haven't heard from them, and they've shown at least publicly no opposition to us trying to develop that land.
All right, looking behind, can we go to the aerial once again, please?
The macro aerial.
See on this computer. Okay. Behind this lot, there is sort of a horseshoe-shaped area. Is that common area?
It is.
Okay.
I said, okay, Solomon.
There are four Solomons up here. All right. Anything else this morning?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to be heard?
No, sir.
All right. Very good. Then you can have a seat, and I will close the evidence portion of this hearing and bring it back to the board for any discussion. I can say that after reading this morning or last night in preparation this morning, I was a little bit disinclined to do this, but after seeing the juxtaposition of the homes and how they aren't facing one another and they aren't in any regular pattern, it doesn't appear that it would be a major, you know, headache to either neighbor. So I'm inclined to approve the variance here. Any other discussion? Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, point of order. If we could just have the board member to state their names when they make a motion.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry. If you wouldn't mind stating your name when you make your motion.
Okay. By voice vote, you mean? Is that what you're asking?
No, just for the record to ensure that we know which board member made the motion and seconded.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, those were my comments. The chairman was commenting about the juxtaposition of the homes. Any other comment from any other board members this morning? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
This is Meredith Stone. I move to approve the petitioner's request.
All right. Do I hear a second?
This is Mrs. Ross. I second.
All right. Then by voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. All right. You have your variance.
Congrats.
By the skin of your chin. All right.
Glad I don't have to drive any of the heavy equipment that's part of that process. Yep.
Man. All right, so we're back to other business now. Nomination of officers for 2024. Do we want to defer this for a month until we have a full board? Can we do that, please?
Yeah.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Then I'd like to, can I have a motion to defer item number 6 to our February meeting?
This is Corinne Ross. I move that we defer the other business item nomination of officers for 2024 to the February meeting.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. I'd rather have a full board considering that so I can make my arguments at Mr. Vineyard. Or maybe I should do it when he's not here.
How about you? We miss him.
All right. We are adjourned this morning.